In the 20 years since world leaders met in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, for the first Earth Summit on Sustainable Development, there have been many positive signs. Global poverty has fallen by half. Per capita income has doubled, and life expectancy has increased by 4 years. Yet those advances have come at a very high cost to the global environment, says Andrew Steer, president of the World Resources Institute.
We've had 3.3 million deaths every year over the last 20 years from pollution. We've been losing forests 13 million hectares every year. That's the size of England every single year. We've had a 50% increase in carbon dioxide, and we're now heading towards a world in which average temperatures will be 4 degrees Celsius above what they were historically.
Currently, 1.3 billion people lack electricity, even as a burgeoning middle class expected to grow from 2 billion to 5 billion people by 2050 are demanding more electric power. Steer says 1,200 coal-fired power plants have been proposed globally in 59 countries, largely in China and India, two of the world's biggest sources of carbon emissions. He notes that renewable energy investment fell in 2012 for the first time in 8 years, but Steer says he's encouraged by government policies that could help reverse that trend.
Over 100 countries now have renewable energy targets, and so what we're looking out for this year is whether some of those new policies are really going to have bite and whether we're going to cross a threshold so that renewable energy really is once and for all recognized as a truly economically viable solution.
Ken Green disagrees. He directs the Center for Energy and Natural Resources Studies at the Fraser Institute, a free market public policy research group based in Canada.
I think we'll soon see the full bursting of what I call the renewable bubble, the growth in green investments that have been inflated by governments spending themselves into huge debts and deficits. And from the look of things in Europe and the U.S., all that debt-fueled spending is going to have to come to an end sooner rather than later based on their economies. So I'd expect green investments to decline as more private investors realize it's a highly uncertain place to put your money.
In 2012, the United Nations launched an initiative to provide universal access to energy, double energy efficiency, and double the share of renewables in the global energy mix by 2030. The World Bank is a partner in this effort. Rachel Kite is the bank's vice president for sustainable development. She says to meet those goals and reduce the risks of runaway climate change, nations must consider a greener energy mix that includes renewable sources and natural gas.
There have been a series of very big natural gas fines in the offshore of the developing world. That becomes a huge opportunity to substitute for coal and to move to a greener energy mix in the short to medium term. We've seen what gas has done for the U.S. emissions profile and for the U.S. economy. And gas is changing the geopolitics of energy as a result.
The World Bank calculates there is a $1 trillion gap in financing for infrastructure in the developing world. In spite of global economic uncertainty, Kite says, ways must be found to cut investment risk. She suggests, for example, tapping the $500 billion industrial nations spend for fossil fuel subsidies.
You could take that $500 billion and repurpose it to make the kinds of investments in the green infrastructure that you need for the future and the competitive jobs that people need to have for the future.
Scientists are predicting more extreme weather like the drought, storms, and wildfires that spread across the globe in 2012 as the planet heats up with man-made carbon emissions from factories, cars, and buildings. Kite says more frequent and severe weather may be the impetus for more climate-savvy environmental policies.
This is going to be a repeated pattern through 2013 and 2014, the intensity of these weather events. And nobody is immune. Nobody is immune. And so this will continue, I think, to push the agenda to the top of political priorities.
Kite says what needs to be done is mostly known. What's missing is the political will to act. Roseanne Skirbel, VOA News, Washington.